Foundations of righteousness, part 3. It's a testimony and thanksgiving service, and I'm sure we have dedications today. But we have been dealing on a subject, and this subject of uprightness and righteousness and character for greater glory. We are looking at the final lap of this subject, foundations of upright of righteousness. And our objective is to understand the role of foundations in life and destiny. Most people today have problems that is traced to their foundation or traceable to their foundations. Psalm 11, verse 3. It said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We are looking at foundations. Foundations. We understand that one of the most important part of every structure, if not the most important, is the foundation. If you build a one-story building and you want to suddenly convert it to a 10-story building, it is impossible. Except you address the foundation. The foundation must be addressed. As it is in the physical, so it is in the spirit. Foundations. We said severally, and in the first service we said, that the quality of a foundation determines the quality of the structure. But let me say this. In the first service also, in the second service we said, that effort at foundations will translate into effects on the construction. The kind of effort you put forth in foundations translate into effects in the construction. Say it this way. Impute into foundations will determine output from the construction. It determines output from the construction. For example, what we put on this floor that you are sitting on, an articulated truck can pass on it. A bulldozer can grind on it. Anything can move on this floor because it was built and founded and wired. We know that there may be times where there will be maintenance on the on this roof in the center here that is almost 43 meters in height, almost the height of 11-story building right in the center. So everything is wired with the future in mind. Foundations are critical. So generally speaking, there are four things that we have identified that foundations can determine. Number one, foundations determine the strength of structure. How strong is a structure? One of the days in the course of the construction of this house, one of the topmost engineers in the country, the chief executive officer of one of the top construction companies in this country, visited this site in the course of the construction. He saw the beams, he saw what was going on. He saw how the steel stanchion 18 meters high was buried into, is it 30 something mm of iron rod mesh welded together all the way up and then all buried inside concrete. He said, in this place, even earthquake. That is the confession of a top notch, because he saw what was going on. We told our engineers, we said, we are not going to spare cost. It's better to overconstruct than to underconstruct. It's better to put in the structure that can make 300,000 to sit than to put in the structure what can sit only 30,000 and you say it is 100,000. So foundations determine strength. As it is in the physical, so it is in the spiritual. The strength of your life, your career, your future is determined by the foundation you are standing on. Number two, we said that foundations determine durability. Durability or stability of structure. The foundation determines the durability or the stability of structure. How long can this building last? You go to Europe today, you will see some structures built 1420 something. You will see buildings that have been standing for 1,000 years. See this building, went to one building. Remember the church we went to in London? We preached there this year. They said it was last renovated, I think 70 years ago. Something like that. And the date, everything is on the wall. For decoration. Everything. They said the last, the queen so-and-so, the first, sat here and did so-and-so. It was all on record. It determined, but in Africa here today, it will be rare to see a building that has lasted 100 years. By 50 years, it is gone. Because of the quality of structures and foundations. It determines durability. Number three, we said that foundations determine stature. How high a building can go. How tall a building can rise. It is how deep we went in the earth that determines how high a structure can go. And finally, we said foundations determine the future of a structure. What can we do with this building? It is determined by the foundation. Can we turn this one-story building into a 10-story building? No, we cannot. The foundation didn't permit that. Can we use this place for so-and-so? No, it's not possible. The foundation will not allow for that. Can this building last for this? No, it's not possible. The foundation doesn't make room for that. It's foundations that determine. In the course of the construction, when I saw what was going on, I said, oh, if the whole of this place has galleries like that, why not? Gallery can be here from the altar side here to that side, another gallery from the altar from this side, and go there so that people can sit here and also face this side. And they said, no, that wasn't calculated into the foundation here. If that was to be done, it should have been done from the foundation, from the scratch. That this wasn't calculated inside the foundation here. In the course, I just realized, oh. And then I saw a building where that went round like this, and then this side had gallery facing here and had gallery facing here. So why not? Gallery can face here also, so that there are people who will be sitting up here and then facing this side. Oh, no. It was the foundation for this side it wasn't calculated into what will, it can't accommodate gallery here. Do you know it is possible to say, I am the senior pastor? Let it be. Do anything you can. Oh, no. It wasn't calculated. It wasn't calculated. So here, no matter how interested we are, we cannot, except if we go. No, it wasn't calculated here. Now, as pastor as I am now, anointed as I am, I have not done piloting school. I haven't gone to a piloting school. Is there any aircraft I will sit inside to fly now that you will enter? My wife here, she loves me so much, I'm not in doubt. But she herself will not enter. She said it already. Nobody will advise her to enter. Why? I don't have that training. No matter what. In the name of Jesus, let's move. God can do all things. No. If you are interested in moving without the aircraft, move without the aircraft. Philip, move without the aircraft. That's the only way you can move. But to sit in an aircraft and you are not trained to fly, that is a dream of suicide. That is how it is. Please take your seat. This is the implication of foundations and principles to life. And having said and seen how important foundations are to life, we are going to quickly look at two foundations necessary for everybody's life. Number one, we must lay foundations of righteousness for life and destiny. Foundations of righteousness. We have several scriptures we read already, or we saw already in the two services, but I'll give you an additional scripture. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 25. In this service, it said, as the whirlwind passes, whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Righteousness gives you a foundation that can last. The righteous is an everlasting foundation. When your life is established on the grounds of righteousness, you have a foundation that can last. Number two, we must lay foundations on scriptural standards. Scriptural standards. We saw scriptures like that in the first two services, but I'm going to give an added scripture, and this is Matthew chapter 16 verse 18. And upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The foundation of Jesus, who is the Word. When you lay your life on Jesus Christ and He is the Word. John chapter 1 verse 1.
in the all the way to verse 5, the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Talking about Jesus. When we lay our lives on the standards of God's Word, the future can be guaranteed. Having said that, there are four foundations that is very important to be careful with. Number one, foundations of childhood. The foundations of childhood. In Proverbs 22 verse 6, the Bible says, bring up a child in the way he should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Psalm 127 verse 3. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Meaning, children belong to God. What are we talking about? Children must be raised on the foundations of righteousness and godly standards. They must be raised. The child of today is an adult of tomorrow. What happens with the life of a child now determines what becomes of that child when they are grown. The following things must be taken note of. First, abuse must be avoided at all costs. Don't abuse a child. And never watch a child abused. And never be too careless to guard your children against abuses. Remember when I preached on the iniquity of sin? When I said that sin is the wrong action. But the iniquity of sin is the collateral damages that the sin has caused. The man raped the little girl. That was sin. But the little girl later on turned into a prostitute. That was the collateral damage of that sin. He did wrong by raping the girl, but God will hold him responsible for manufacturing a prostitute. You understand what I'm talking about? And I've met so many young ladies who lived wayward, terrible lives. Some would trace their challenge to an uncle that raped them as a child, a cousin, a nephew, a brother, somebody. In fact, I've met a girl that was raped both by her father and her brother. These people are turned into miserable entities. Because something damaged, something malhappened in the foundation of their life. And they grew up. In the first service, I told parents, many times when children experience those kind of things, they are afraid to speak. Those who abuse them said, if you say it, you die, or something like that. Or at times when the children volunteers, they become the victim. And they are, how did you do? You are the one who tempted him, or something like that. Am I communicating? But we must come to the point where the future of these people must be defended, and we must play our role to assist in helping them against this destruction. There are places where a child is born and they give him wine to drink. That is a ruined future. I know a man. I knew of him. We never met. In fact, he died before I was born. Well, he was still alive after I had been born. This man said when he was a child, his parents gave him alcohol to drink to stop him from crying. And then he would become drunk and be manifesting drunkenness age 2, age 3, age 4. Grew up, became a Christian, but he was not the alcoholic bondage could not leave him. Became a dead drunkard. Died in drunkenness. Because of a damage that happened in the foundation. Somebody say foundation. Am I communicating at all? Damage that happened in the foundation. I've heard stories of where an 11-story a skyscraper was cracking on 11th floor. Between 11th and 12th floor, it was cracking. Crack. Only for them to realize that it was a problem from the foundation that manifested at the 11th floor. Somebody say amen. Am I communicating at all? Every adult, you have the responsibility of protecting the child. It doesn't matter whether it's your child or it's your relation's child. That is a foundation of their life. Protect it well. Take your seat. Number two, exposure to evil must be avoided at all costs. Exposure to evil. Thou must not suffer your holy one to see corruption. Children are very holy and pure. That's why I said, except to be converted and become like little children, you will not enter into heaven. The child must not be exposed to evil. Thirdly, bad character display before children must be avoided. In fact, bad character display must be avoided not just before children, but at all times. But importantly, children, you are lying. You are sitting on the dining table making a phone call and your children are hearing you. Okay, yes, I'm speaking to you from Lagos. He's in Wuse, Zone 5, sitting on his dining table with children around him. When I return back from Lagos, I will call. You see, you are destroying a generation. See the man who sent his son to tell his creditor, the man he's owing money, tell the man I'm not at home. And he met the man at the entrance. Where's your father? My father said, I should tell you he is not at home. He has already told the man. Teaching the child how to lie. And we are talking about a society that is filled. That child that lied at that time will forge results and do anything. A future ruined. That is childhood foundation. Number two, we would have education, the foundation of education. I gave scriptures in the first two services, but let me add a third scripture. You know, when you are about to enter into primary school, it's a foundation for a level. You are about to enter secondary school. There is another foundation. They are about to enter university. There is another foundation there. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 34. It says, righteousness exalts a nation, a people. But sin is a limitation. Unrighteousness is a limitation. Unrighteousness is never a promoter. Iniquity is never a lifter. In your education, ensure you lay the foundation yourself and lay the foundation for your children. Educational pursuit must be carried out with integrity for the purpose of the future. Take note of the following. First, exam malpractice must be avoided at all costs. Must be. We live in days where we hear that There are places they call wonder centers for GC or WAEC. If you, even if you take, no matter how dummy, the dummiest dummy, will graduate with straight A's. Where they buy exam paper. Where 24 hours to the exam, they have a place where they can check and get all the examination questions and answers. One of my children went to one school one time during the exam. He said, if you ask the or during test and so those kind of things, you ask the teacher, excuse me, what is this question saying? The teacher will give you the answer. Say, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. And I told my children when they were growing up, I said, it is better for me if you didn't know the question and you failed and you came back home, I will celebrate you, than for you to cheat to pass. It's not an option. Rigid. You put them in wonder center and they pass GC and then they become wanderers in life. Placeless. Because of standing on a foundation that has no future. Am I communicating? Should we preach this kind of preaching? What kind of useless? Bribe the teacher to award marks that the child didn't have. Pay the school to pass the child. We hear all manner of things. At all levels, where you can make some payments to even find who can mark the script for you, and they will mark and pass the school. All manner. All manner. But what shall it profit a man if he gain all the marks and lose his soul? And what can a man give in exchange for his soul? You can get a first class result and a third class life. A filled life, in fact. Somebody say amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. It must be avoided at what God cannot give you, what your wisdom can give, what favor can give, what labor can give, you don't need. Number two, forgeries of certificates or results must be avoided at all costs. Must. Somebody is using another person's certificate. I met a man who was using the certificate of his dead brother. The brother has died, and that's the certificate he's using to proceed. So his life was battered, shattered, scattered. How can the living start on a foundation of debt? How? I am saying this because you carry such a certificate and entered into a career. The career is dead on arrival. DOA. Director of admin. Dead on arrival. Do you understand what I'm saying? Career is dead. Man is using a dead man's certificate. A certificate he bought. BID. Brought in dead. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are people with fake visas. They catch them somewhere. Some are cooling their head in some European prisons. Yeah. You don't need it. Forgeries. Number three. Money or immorality for marks. There are places where they pay money. You pay the lecturer to pass. They are selling children handouts that they didn't need. If you didn't buy it, you must fail. Or in fact, outright payment to pass. Or immorality for marks. That is, you got a certificate that you sold your body to get. What is that? The wrong foundation for your future, if that is what you are getting. Somebody say amen. Any other form, education, foundation. Every other form of fraudulent malpractice. Number three is career and destiny foundation.
How you got into the job, the background that ushered you into the work you are doing, it matters for your future.
Because there are people whose problems make the pastor look like he's not called of God, or the sickness makes the doctor look like he didn't do a training.
Perennial things that are tied to foundational issues.
Look at Psalm 37 verse 27. Depart from evil and do good. For what purpose? So you can dwell forevermore. What is the meaning of that? Depart from evil. Do good. If you are interested in the future. Depart from evil. Do good. If you are interested in the future. If your career and your occupation must have a future, it must be laid on godly foundation. Your career and your assignment, your destiny. If there must be a future, it must be laid on godly foundation.
Hallelujah.
Let me say the following. First of all, bribery to secure a job must be avoided at all costs. You bribed to be able to get the form. Bribed to be scheduled for the interview. You bribed. Give somebody money. I hear there are influential people who, if they have enough money, they can bribe. They can buy. In fact, there are jobs that could be bought. Takes 1 point something million or something. Just enough money. And then your relation can have a job. So we have a system that is non-working at all. I also heard that positions can be bought. If you have enough money, you can buy some things. If you know enough people, you can give some money. But that is not your portion. There are people who are from maybe Benue State. You want to join soldier. You pass through Plateau State. You want to join state of origin, Plateau. It's from Kwara. Pass through Ogun State. He has joined the soldier. But his foundation is wrong. He won't go this way. And he has come. He did all manner of maneuvers and arrived. Just struggling at all points. Promotion exam struggle. Just struggle. What he didn't do, they say he did. Sent him to the war front. He almost lost his leg. The leg you used to do chua chua. Like they used to call it. Take your seat. I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. Take your seat. See, we have a society that is so used to the wrong thing. You are listening to this because God loves us. And when I come to the conclusion, I'll tell you why we are talking. So that was number one. Bribery to secure a job. Number two, compromise to get or keep jobs must be avoided at all costs. Immoral compromise, other forms of compromise. If you can write... testify that this man didn't do his work, we'll sack him and then we'll take his position. There are people who do all manner of things. Foundation. And they want to climb. And God said, you are standing on shaky ground. You are standing on shaking ground. Number three, false declaration of age to get jobs must be completely avoided. Completely. Somebody say, Pastor, are you going to preach this kind of thing in Nigeria? We need it. So that our lives can be sanitized and so that our eternity is not jeopardized. Somebody was born in 1980, which means is how many years? 39 years. But they said, we need people that are 30 years and below. It's okay. In that case, I was born in 1995. Date of birth, 1995. 3rd of June, 1995. That is, I am only 24 years. Instead of 39 years. He discounted 15 years. He gave himself 15 years discount. The question is, do you want to die 15 years before your time? Just subtracted 15 years. Subtracted minus 15 years. He minus 15 years from his life. He got the job, but he didn't get the job. Every time he looks at his CV, degree, date of birth, 1995. Arrow hit his chest. Why? There is nothing compulsory in this life. If you have to do that to get a government job, become self-employed. Or look for a private or any kind of job. Is God speaking to anybody at all? Any kind of job. I know of somebody who got government job at the age of almost 50 or 40 something. And they got him and with his qualification and he put his correct age. And they gave him the job and placed him at his correct level. He's about 60 years now. He's about to retire. He said, even though I worked for just how many few years, not up to 20 years in service, he said, I have more joy. I have more result. I have more impact than those who did 35 years. And I'm happy to be resigning at this time. Or to be retiring at this time. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? All those kind of crooked things must be avoided in order for your future in this world and in the world to come to be established. I think that was, did I mention a fourth one? Fake certificates to secure a job. We dealt with that already in the issue of the school. That is the foundation. That is, what are you standing on this work you are doing? What facts, what are the things you are standing on? It's very, very important. Finally, marriage and family. It's a foundation. When you are about to get married, you are about to step into a future. A future is about to be set. So the things you did in the perimarital and paramarital areas, those things around the marriage area, they matter for the future of the home. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4 said, marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 7, it said, the wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. If your family, your home is built on righteousness, it has a future. The house of the righteous shall stand. We have a lot of marital challenges in our generation today. Marital challenges. Quarrel, beatings, all manner. Because we have come to the point where marriage is just, it just happens like people buy cloth now. No rules, no regulations, no principles, nothing. But if the family must be established, the marriage and the family must be established, if it must have a future, it must be established on righteousness. And these are the following things I'll just mention. Number one, premarital sex must be avoided at all costs. That is the Bible. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable. The bed must not be defiled. When people are standing on immorality before they marry, one, immorality outside the marriage can be easy for either of them or both of them. Next, mutual suspicion. The man is suspecting the woman is suspecting the man. Next, slash down of respect. The value reduces. There is value in novelty. There is value in newness. And of course, lack of love. Apart from wickedness in the heart of a man, one of the things that will make a man to almost beat and almost want to kill his wife sometimes is that the value is very low. Huh? See, a lady living with a man, they haven't married. The man has almost killed her. She packs out only to return tomorrow and be begging, "I'm sorry. Anything I did, forgive me, please. I can't do without you." Is it charm? They charm you. If they charm you, charm no despoil. Charm can spoil. You know, oh, I'm very, very sorry. I just beat the hell. And my wife sent me a video clip the other day where there were chronologies of women that were beaten to death by brutal men. My advice to any man who takes his hand to beat his wife, to hit his wife, is very simple. When you are tired and you don't want to marry somebody's daughter, carry her, hand her over to where you took her from. Beating the wife was not part of the agreement of the marriage. No man handed his daughter to you to kill or to slap. You picked her from somewhere, go to that place and say, "For now, if she remains with me, I may kill her. So please hold her." Alternatively, if fight is worrying you, go to the motor park. There are many area boys in Lagos, Agbero boys in the town. They are waiting for fight. And you look for your fellow man. You look for your fellow man. Woman beating man, fighting woman is a shame. Am I communicating at all? Very, very important. Please take your seat. I don't know why this has to come into this message, but premarital sex avoided. Number two, lies, insincerity. I have a house in London, another one in Paris. In fact, I'm just back from Dubai now to do some financial transaction. It involves oil wells in Saudi Arabia and some other places. And the transaction is $12.5 billion. And I'll leave there to fly to Florida to still up some things. And the worst thing is that these are the kind of things that some girls believe. Man that says he has gone over sea, he has not gone even over River Niger. Take your sin. My followers are full of lies. You just see. I said in the other service, I said there are some people, the only thing that is true about them is that nothing is true. Don't hate a person enough to deceive them into something like marriage on the foundation of lie. It's not good. You are impotent, man, and you are telling a girl you want to marry her. With what? Impotent. Your prayer is not for a wife now. Your prayer is for the restoration of potency. Listen, because I am not just preaching. These are things I have witnessed. Man married girl only for the girl to realize that the man is impotent, and he was aware. They lived together for about 8 years and wedded in church. She walked out. You deceived me. You are not a man. There's some wickedness of heart. Wickedness of heart. You have a child out of wedlock and you don't want the other person to know. It's not, well, if you have a child out of wedlock and you have come before God, you have been forgiven. So you don't die with that challenge. If this person will not marry you because you had a child before, somebody who will both marry you and love the child. One of the most successful men in this world that I know, and you know if I mention the name, went to marry a lady, and the lady already had a child. And the person who is to be the father of the child rejected both the woman and the child and left. When this man came and he saw the woman, he liked the woman, and the woman said, yes, but I have a child out of wedlock. The man said, I will marry you with the child. And when he realized that the child's father rejected him and rejected him, he said, I will be your husband. And the child will be our first child. That child bears his surname now. I don't know if anybody in the world is aware. Not in this country, it's in another country of the world, so that you don't guess who is he talking about. I love you and I love your child. You don't know the difference. You won't be able to tell who is the father. You don't know. Because if the man loves you and vice versa, he will love you the way you are. The way he met you. So there's no need to lie. There's no need to deceive. There is no need whatsoever. If a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. There is no need. Lies and falsehood must be avoided. They are bad foundations for marriage. I've seen people walked out of relationships when they realized they were deceived. A man married his wife. He was the first person that knew that woman. But that knowledge happened when they have not yet married. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to marry you. Before they married, they had relationship with each other. But they still went ahead and married normal. Because they were on the journey to marry. They were not Christians then, but they got married. Now, the man was the first man in that woman's life, but unknown to him, he was not the only person. In between when they started and when they married, she had met another person who was the man's friend and had relationship. Now, they went into the home, and the man in his mind, I am the first person and the only person in this woman's life, but he wasn't aware until about 8 years later. For whatever reason, is it me you dealt with like this? And the man went out like wildfire, bringing women to his matrimonial bed in the front of his wife. See what you can do for dealing with me like this. Led to HIV. Both of them. HIV AIDS. And in those days, it's not like today when you have plenty antiretroviral. None of them is alive. Because of one seed. Am I communicating? Well, you may be the first, but not the only. I made a mistake, whatever. If the man wants, he can go ahead. If he doesn't want, he stops. It's far better. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Lies and falsehood must be avoided at all costs. And thirdly, genuine love must be confirmed. Pray that I finish this thing now, because our time is up. Genuine love must be confirmed. Genuine love. What I mean by that, don't marry a person's car, marry them. Don't be married to a person's money, marry them. Don't marry somebody because of what you think he or she can do for you. Marry the person. Otherwise, it's a signature for frustration. Don't marry because of it's from a rich family, wealthy family. Everybody in that family. I remember around the time we were about to get married, there was one person who was going to get married at that time who was talking about the kind of person she was going to marry, the family they came from, the camp comfort, the community. In fact, nothing. Don't let anybody marry your money if you're a man. And don't let anybody marry just your beauty. Because the person may see somebody he thinks is more beautiful. That is when wahala starts. Let it be genuine love. Genuine love. And finally, God must be in the picture. God must be in the picture. Let God be central. If God started the home, God cannot be kept out of the home for the home to function. Let God be central. Well, let me give a word of caution concerning the issue of marriage. In marital situations, except extreme situations where, like I said the other day, somebody gave got a child out of wedlock, or somebody did an abortion and removed the womb, and those kind of things, extreme conditions, it is advisable to let the past be past. Am I communicating? If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. The things that have been buried under the blood should not be resurrected. Am I communicating? If you lived a sinful life before, and the other person also lived a sinful life, and everybody is in Christ now, there is no need for everybody to now, let's exhume all the past. No. That is unnecessary. That is even a calculation for frustration. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen.
What is our counsel and conclusion today? The future is in jeopardy if the foundation is not in order. The future of everything is in jeopardy if the foundation is not in order. For that purpose, do it right the first time. Because it is easier to do the right thing than to correct a wrong deed. Do it right the first time. It's easier for you to submit the right credential than to realize later and try to apply to retrieve fake certificate. Or to say, I'm sorry, I want to change my date of birth. I didn't put the correct one at first. Or somebody who has succeeded in marrying like 5 wives or so, at the age of 50 now, you say, God called him into ministry. Or 55. Or 60. Okay, I have a calling. How now? Okay, what about all this congregation now? Who will you do? That is why it's better to come to Jesus Christ very early. The congregation, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, with all their children. Maybe one has 5 children, another one has 4, altogether about 20, 25, 30 children. What will you do now? Your calling is coming a bit late. You are getting interested too late. Do the right thing first, the first time. Because it is easier to do the right thing than to correct a wrong deed. It is easier to uphold principles than to correct consequences. Somebody say amen. That is the first thing. Number two, it is not possible to end at the right place while following the wrong way. You cannot end at the right place if you are following the wrong way. So, follow the right way. Destiny is not in view where principles are out of place. It can never be. Husbands, love your wife. Wives, submit your own husband. If that is not in place, the marriage cannot work. So, and where possible, wrong foundations must be corrected for the security of the future. I want to retrieve my certificate. I said, where possible, I want to correct my date of birth. Where possible, I want to, in fact, maybe resign in some cases and just look for something else to do with your life. This is a hard saying, especially in Nigeria. But truth must be told, because our lives don't end in this world. Beyond this world, there is another life. And we should be able to make heaven at the end of our journey and not say that we are afraid of consequences. And whenever we are afraid of consequences, we never take action. That man putting you under pressure. You know, today, there are parents who even put their daughters under pressure. Have you and the man known each other? Say, no, I'm a Christian, I can't. I say, which kind? My friend. But listen, doesn't matter who is saying it, uphold the right principle, and you will never end at the wrong place. My heart is full of goodwill for your life and for your life. And I am convinced that you will not miss it. Stand up on your feet. Lift up your hands and your voice. You will not miss it. Somebody went to the boss working in the bank after a message like this. And I advise you, before you take any drastic step, pray very well. Fast with it if possible, so that the power of God can back the action.
went to the office and said, "Excuse me, sir, I realized that I submitted the wrong date of birth. And I did that only because I wanted to get the job. Because they say a particular age, they cannot take people. Please, I just want to go. I want to resign. I'm sorry." And the bank, he testified in our church in Area 1. His boss in the bank said, "You want to go where? Do we sack honest people? Is this sincere people like this? Can anybody sack a sincere person like this? No way. You are going nowhere. Nowhere. Job retained. Life continued." I've had encounters with people who came and, "Oh, my certificate wasn't the correct one." Right? Present the correct one. Has situations like that. Beloved brothers and sisters, it will pay you and your future can be clear and you can be standing on the right foundation. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 100 years. And like Jesus, you will say, "The prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me." Lift your hands and appreciate him. Lift your hands. Thank him for the word.
Lord, I give you my heart, my soul. I live for you alone. Every step that I take, every moment I'm awake. In me.
Lift up your hands. Say, "Father," say it and say it louder. Say, "Father, I receive the grace to do your will. I receive the grace to live for you. Where I have made mistakes in time past, I receive mercy. I receive forgiveness. And today, I receive the help, the grace to do the right thing, to follow the right course of action. Help me not to fail. Help me not to falter. I receive your help now. I receive your mercy now. In the name of Jesus." Open your mouth and speak to God. In the name of Jesus, lift the hands higher. Right in this vast crowd, I know there are people here today who are in need of surrender, in need of forgiveness for their sins. You have lived in a way that you know God is not happy with. You want today to mark a new beginning for you. You want your sins forgiven. Wherever you are, I'd like you to pick your Bibles and pick your bags and quickly step forward here. You want your sins forgiven? You want Jesus to be Lord over your life? You have made mistakes in time past? You want God to give you the grace to correct them? Or you backslid and you want to return back to God? Or you are bound by a lifestyle you don't like, an addiction, something that has tied your life and chained your life, and you want to be free from it? Pick your Bibles, pick your bags, and quickly come forward here and let us pray with you. Pick your bags, pick your Bibles, and don't be the last to come. While we are doing that, the rest of us lift up our hands and say one more time, "Father, I receive the grace to do your will, to live for you, not to fail, not to falter. I receive that grace, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray now.
I live for you alone. Every step that I take, every moment of my way, have your way, Lord.
Everybody see. Yes, every one of you. Father, I pray for everyone here today. I declare that the hold of sin be broken, the yoke of the enemy be broken, grace to live for God be released upon you. I call it done in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our counselors are here. But before you go, can we all lift up our hands? I pray upon you today. I pray upon everyone. I ask for God's help and mercy to come upon you. Grace to live for God be released upon you. Today is the beginning of a new day for you in the precious name of Jesus. I take authority over anti-marital spells. Your yoke is broken. Spirits of premature death, your yoke is broken. Spirits of hindrance and limitation and backwardness, your yoke is broken. I prophesy grace to live for God, grace to do His will, grace to do the right.